AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
We're in Exodus chapter 14, and of course we've read about how God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt through the plagues, although Pharaoh certainly wasn't very happy about it. And we're in chapter 14, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before, and I'm not going to pronounce this correctly, Pi-hi-roeth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it you shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, in the wilderness has shut them in. Well, we'll explain what that's about. And with this Exodus 14 introduction, we welcome you to today's edition of Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here, along with Bert Harper. And of course, we invite you to follow along. And then later in the show, we will get to Bible questions. But Bert, where I am, it's cold and snowy, and I know where you and Brent are at AFA in Tupelo, it's been cold and snowy. Am I right?
Has been. Now, the cold is still here, but not 11 degrees for the high. Alex, that is cold, but our snow is just about gone. You know that when we have an inch or an inch and a half in northeast Mississippi, everything closes down. So...
Yeah,
but you're in Wichita, and it is cold. Is the snow there really deep, or just a little?
It's not so bad, and the roads are generally clear. It is really cold. It was about 11 degrees just not too many minutes ago, and I'm here tomorrow morning. I get to speak at a Christian school, and I'm going to be talking to the kids about biblical worldview and the Bible, and my challenge to them will be to make the Bible their roadmap for life.
Amen.
And, of course, a relationship with Jesus. Then at Metro East Baptist Church, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, I'll be teaching on the toughest questions your kids will ask about God and Christianity. I'll be going over how to respond to the common objections against the Christian faith. And then Sunday morning, I'll be preaching on Revelation and Bible prophecy. So if you're in the Wichita, Kansas area, we would love to see you out here. Bert, I was at the airport, and I landed a couple hours ago, and somebody stopped me, and they said, Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word. But we give God the glory for the chance to spread the gospel, not only on the road, but every afternoon on the airwaves.
Amen. Wichita is one of our strong areas, and we appreciate that. Kansas is just a great state for AFR, and so it's good that you're there, Alex. And I know it'll be a great time at those churches, that school, and we pray that everything would go good. I've got a question real quickly as we start 14. Okay, Pharaoh has let them go. Do you think he'll change his mind?
I think he will change his mind because, you know, here's the thing. While he grudgingly was, I think he was like Cain, remorseful but not repentant. You remember Cain said, my punishment is more than I can bear. And Cain, like Pharaoh, was sad for the situation his sin had gotten him into, but he wasn't repentant. And that's why he's thinking here in verse 3. He says the wilderness has shut them in, and you can almost hear the wheels turning where he says, you know, I'm going to go after them.
Yeah, he expresses that in 4, and God says this, I will harden Pharaoh's heart again. Notice what comes first. Pharaoh's is thinking, and then God comes in, so that he will pursue them, I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all of his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Now, he's going to say that again as well, Alex, and he said it before. So the whole thing is that God is greater than all the gods, greater than any situation you might find, greater than any king that might be in power. And so here, I will gain honor. I will gain, you will see that I am God. And this is what God wants. He wants us to see who he is. And when we do that, we honor him, we respect him, and we worship him, don't we?
Well, we do. We should. And let me say this. In verse 4, there's that enigmatic phrase, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. So Pharaoh's going to, you know, chase them and try to overtake the Israelites. I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and they did so. All right, here's my point. People have asked, what does it mean that God hardened Pharaoh's heart? Well, we know this, that God, the Bible says, God does not tempt any man to evil. We know that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We know that God does not provoke people to sin. And if people pull away from God and reject the light they've been given, that's their own choice. It wasn't God, because the Bible says God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. But Bert, let me just say this, and you clean up what I might not say exactly correctly. Folks, this is where, and in your heart of hearts, you've got to figure out if you've responded to the Lord. There's this mysterious realm where God's overtures and your free will intersect. And there are circumstances, and you've got to react to your circumstances. God did not force Pharaoh to do evil, just like God did not force Judas to betray the Lord. There were circumstances, and God is sovereign. However, we are responsible. We're accountable. Pharaoh hardened his own heart by turning against God. And the more, I mean, Bert, I would submit at any time during those 10 plagues, or even before the beginning of the first plague, God could have mercifully relented, and not only would there have been sparing from the punishments, there would have been God's blessing and favor. All that pain, all that judgment, it wasn't because God is cruel, it was because Pharaoh was so adamantly disobedient.
Alex, let me ask you this. I agree with you. Let me ask you this. We've talked about when they leave here and they go into the land of promise, which they occupy now, praise the Lord, most of it, not all of it. They could occupy more. They're not going to give anything up in these days that we live, and they should not. But they in there, they invade their territory, the Philistines, all those different groups. And because God had a higher purpose for the world through Jesus Christ coming out of that land, out of that people, yes, that was permitted. And here I would say similar to the same thing about Pharaoh. Yes, he's hardening his heart just like all the other Philistines and all the Jebusites and all the other ites that were in Israel. But every one of them had a choice. And a good illustration of that is Rahab. Out of that group of people, Rahab believed God. If any of those had believed God, like Pharaoh or any of his people that were helping him, God would step in and deliver them. God responds that way. And so I'm saying that God responded to Pharaoh's hardness of his own heart with, yes, given another opportunity where he hardened his own heart again. And by that, God hardened his heart. And what was the ultimate glory? For God to get, go back if you would, what it said here, when it said, I will gain honor. Now, again, that's not God being, he is the only one, but that's God saying, when I am honored and when I am lifted up, when I am trusted, I want to tell you, you'll get blessing. But when you don't, you won't get the blessing. Does that add to anything that we've just talked about?
Absolutely. And hey, let me just say this. If we could only see, I mean, you think about somebody very evil like Adolf Hitler or a terrorist or Pharaoh here, if we could only see the pathway of their life when the Spirit of God was calling and when they did or didn't respond. But, you know, we're not talking about history's most evil people. Folks, this is on every one of us to search our soul and say, have I responded to the truth that God has revealed to me? Let me say this. When Angie and I first got married, she was finishing up nursing school and got her certification. But I remember, Bert, she was reading EKGs, and there was this paper they would stick them on, and she had been trained to look at the blips on the little graph, and she would say, do you see right here, this was a heart episode, this and that. My point is this, we have heart episodes where the Spirit of God is calling, and maybe right now you're even listening and you're thinking, I need to make sure that I've been saved. I need to make sure that I've put Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Or maybe you are a Christian, but all is not well, and you need to come back to Christ. And the thing is, it's the state of the heart. Bert, I want to get back to Exodus 14, but I want to bring up a name. Was it J. Harold Smith that preached a sermon, God's Three Deadlines?
That's it. That's
do you remember that?
Yes, I do. I do.
I was very privileged. When I was in seminary, he came to Liberty. He was elderly. But I'm telling you, he preached, and
amen.
Dozens and dozens and dozens of people came forward to get saved. But he was basically saying, J. Harold Smith said, there are deadlines in life. And he said, you know, you may be hearing the gospel for the last time. You have no guarantee that there'll be another opportunity where your mind is open, you understand that Christ is calling to you, and you have an opportunity. Now, Pharaoh here, he crossed some deadlines.
And he did so purposefully, and this is what happens in selfishness. The more selfish you become, the greedier you become, and it hardens your heart, even in that. Now, why does he change his mind then? It's because they talked about it, and they said, you know what? This is going to wreck our economy. They've served us all these years, and this is what our dependent is living on. That's what the southern states said about slavery before the Civil War. You know,
I was just thinking that.
In that, they said, this is our economy. You don't understand it. Just because it's your economy, if that economy is built up on a falsehood, I want to tell you, there's a price to pay. You may not pay it now, but there will be a time when you pay it. And yeah. So let me read this, verse 5. Now, it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and this is what I was talking about. The heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, here it is, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? In other words, what we've built, what we have here, the last 400 years, they said it's built on the backs of these Jews, and we're letting them get away. And so, Alex, greed is a dangerous thing to let it take hold of your life, isn't it?
Well, Bert, I would submit that something happened between verse 5 and verse 6. The people said, well, they're gone. They're gone. And verse 6, Pharaoh made ready his chariots to go after the people. See, here's the thing, folks. Temptation is one thing, but you make that choice. Adam and Eve, they were in sin while they were reaching up to grab that apple.
Oh, man.
You know?
Is it an attitude of the heart?
It is the situation of the heart. It really is. This is Exploring the Word. Bert Harper, Alex McFarland. We're in Exodus 13. Plus, later on in the program, we'll get to your calls and Bible questions. Stay tuned. We've got a brief break. After that, Exploring the Word will resume in Exodus 14.
Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
Well, welcome back to Exploring the Word. Brent Austin just picks out great music to bring us in. The only problem we do, we would love to hear more and more of it, but we want to get to God's Word. And we're going to do this. It's in 14 of Exodus, chapter 14. Alex has said that something happened in Pharaoh. He made ready his chariots and took his people with him. That's in verse 6. So how many did he take? He took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over them, every one of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. The children of Israel went out with boldness. Now, Alex, when I come to that last line there, last phrase, they went out with boldness. But when they see them coming, that boldness turns to shivering and fear, you know? We can be bold when it's easy, but man, when it gets hard, will that boldness fade? Or will you do what God has told several of his men and women to do, be strong and courageous? When are you going to be strong and courageous, Alex?
Well, the time to be strong and courageous is at all times, because our trust is in the Lord and not in self-confidence. Do you remember we in the show that we did on Tuesday, I believe it was, said they left with a high hand. That's the way the King James rendered it. But yeah, they were bold and they were organized and they were in bands and organization. But now, verse 8, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. Well, whether it's Peter being afraid by the storm and the clouds buffeted and he began to sink, or whether it's the children of Israel now fearful because they're being pursued. And verse 9 says, the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea. And Bert, in the movie that I reference a lot, The Ten Commandments, maybe the sound engineers edited it this way, but the thundering hoofbeats of the approaching horses really add to the drama. Maybe they could feel the ground vibrating of hundreds and hundreds of horses and horsemen, but they were afraid. And it says they saw it, verse 10, and they were afraid, and they said to Moses, and this is really sarcastic in verse 11, hey, were there no graves in Egypt to bury our dead bodies? You brought us out here in the wilderness to die. In other words, Moses, not God bless you for boldly obeying God, God bless you for obeying the call on your life. No, Moses, you brought us out here to get us killed. I mean, the mutiny, the rebellion is already beginning to show itself.
Alex, got another question. Do you think this is the last time they'll do that?
No. If you and I were here with Moses, I guess I would say, welcome to the pastorate.
I would too. And I'd say, this is a sign of more things to come. And here they are. This is what you've done to us. We would have been better off in Egypt. Is this not the word that we're told you in Egypt? We've told you this. I told you so. Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. We want to stay slaves. We want to stay in bondage. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in this wilderness. Now, Alex, they forgot God's purpose. He was to bring them out so they could go in. Now, this is God's way of operating. He brings us out in order to go in. He had to get them out of Egypt before he could get them into the promised land. And so here, what God does with us, he brings us out of darkness and brings us into the light. He brings us from death to life. This is what he does in salvation. Mm-hmm. This is God. Would you say this is God's mode of operation?
Well, it is. And, if you get over there to verse 18, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I've gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots. And, I go back to verse 13, and Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Let me just say this. When you're afraid and you want to react and maybe go back to where you were before having taken that step of obedience, be still.
Amen. Be still and know that I am God. Isn't that true?
Yeah. There's so many personal accounts that I'd love to share. We don't have time. Let me just say God is faithful. And Bert, I'm as guilty as anybody. This goes back to 25 years ago when I was leaving the youth pastorate to start Truth for New Generation. I would pray. I'd go to a city like New Haven, Connecticut, and go up to Yale and rent a Coliseum. And I would call up Josh McDowell and Ravi Zacharias and Lee Strobel, and we'd get a conference. And I would have 36 pastors. Literally, this happened in Connecticut. A group of pastors said, "We've been praying for years for an evangelistic crusade in New Haven, Connecticut." We had 2,287 people come out. We had nearly 200 salvations. But here's my point. God gave every indication that he was with us, and he was. And yet, when it came time to raise the money, do the promotion, fill the arena with people, I got really afraid. And I would be heading up to New Haven to work on this crusade, and I said, "Oh, why did I ever do this?" And then I thought, well, wait a minute. Everything God has done has been a green light and a green light. And here's the thing. I'm going to say two things. I'm going to let you respond. Because week before last, a pastor called that listens, and he's probably listening now. And this particular pastor called for prayer. They're in a building program. And they started, and they've raised 50% of the money before they ever put a shovel in the ground. God is with them. But now that they're in it, this pastor was very weary and very fearful, and I was able to, I think, give him some encouragement. Two thoughts, and I'm saying this to Alex and everybody. You've got to love the process as much as the end result. See, the end result is people getting saved, a ministry getting done, a project being completed. But God wants to work in you through the process. The other thing I would say is this, and I'll throw it to you, Bert. Before the prize, there comes a price. The prize is, we're in the promised land, or we've accomplished this, or we had a great VBS this summer, or whatever. There's a wonderful prize. But before the prize of success, there's the price of saying your prayers and doing the hard work.
You are right on. Let me give another biblical example. In the book of Nehemiah, God called Nehemiah out for them to rebuild the wall. What the most difficult time was? Not at the beginning, not at the end, but halfway through.
Yeah.
When it was half done, you're talking about the opposition coming. And this is Satan's mode of now he's going to attack you all the way. He's going to try to pull it out from beneath you all the way. But I am telling you, when you start, there's that price to pay. You look unto the Lord, because this is what happens. And I think this is so, so important to see. Look at it in verse 13, the last part. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Listen, listen wow. what he says to them. The Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, now listen, this is instruction. Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Alex?
Amen.
That's the marching orders, isn't it?
It is.
We're to go forward. I will fight for you. Has that changed? Or is God still on our side?
God is still on our side. In the previous segment, I mentioned J. Harold Smith and his famous sermon, God's Three Deadlines. And over the break, we were talking about how, you know, different ones had different great messages. Bert, I was very privileged to go to school under Dr. Jerry Falwell, founder of Liberty. And he preached this sermon. He said, believe great things from God, attempt great things for God. And I mean, he lived it. And so, if I may digress for a minute, folks, you're listening, and I want to say to everybody out there who is a born-again Christian, God has things he wants to do through your life. You know, Daniel 11:32 says, the people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. And I want you to think about what God can accomplish through you. And maybe it's before this year's out, you want to see 20% more people saved and baptized and brought into your church. Or maybe you want to start having, you know, a regular daily quiet time. Set goals, realistic, measurable, but ambitious goals for God's work in your life, and God will lead you, and God will use you. And when you've experienced A, God will lead you to B. And Bert, I truly think every Christian, if we allow God, and he'll stretch us, but God has eternally important things that he wants to do through the life of every Christian.
Amen. There's this old song, God leads his children along. We talked about that. He does them from A to B, from B to C. He leads us. He's our path, and we're to follow him. Go forward. Now, what does he tell him to do? But lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And indeed, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. They shall follow them, so that I will gain honor over Pharaoh, over all his armies, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now, Alex, there's that word again, gain honor. Now, what does this do? This demonstrates who God is, where he is. He's on the throne, and you need to know this. You need to remember this. But he says, lift up your rod. Now, what had God told him to Moses to do when he first talked about the rod? Throw it down. He threw it down, and that was his possession. That was his security. That was his protection. That was everything. He threw it down. You remember, it became a snake. And then God said, pick it up. Now, here it is. This is good stuff, folks. Throw it down, pick it up, lift it up. This is what God wants us to do with what God has given us. Lift up praise to God. If you're a singer, lift up praise. If you're a teacher, if you're a prayer warrior, a strong witness, whatever you are, lift it up to the Lord and watch the Lord make division. Watch him separate and bring about his purpose. That what will happen? That God will gain the glory, Alex. Isn't that what it's all about for us as believers?
Well, it is. It is. And verse 21 says, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night, and they made their way on dry ground. See, the elements obey God. Bert, that wind could have blown any direction, but when Moses obeyed and trusted, maybe his knees were knocking. I know mine would have been. But God made that wind blow favorably to him. God will make things go favorably when we are in a state of obedience.
And he's going to help us do it. Hold that thought, because I got to get verse 20. Notice this. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud of darkness to the one, and it gave light to the other. Now, isn't that the same cloud,
it's
Alex?
It's amazing.
That
yes.
is one of the most amazing things that we've talked about, the sun. It hardens the clay and melts the ice. Same sun. This is the same cloud that gave light to the Israelites and darkness. What was the difference? Trusting God, following mm-hmm. God, obeying God. If you want light, follow God. Isn't that the correct way? And then they come to the sea and they can cross it. They can cross those issues that come before us. Do it in faith and he'll give us the light.
Well, that is so true. The same wind that gave light to the one whose heart was toward God gave darkness to those that were against God. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. They took off their chariot wheel, and took off. In other words, the wheels fall off the chariots, and they drave them heavily. I mean, those Egyptians are beating the horses, just beating. But when you've got an axle, digging into the ground, the chariot can't go. The wheels have fallen off, and of course, the sea is going to fall down on them when Moses stretches out his hand again. Bert, I've known people that would read God's word, and it brought them all the more closer to Jesus. And I've known people that would read God's word, and they would take a pen and just pick apart Scripture and nitpick it to death, and it drove them away from God. It's a state of the heart, isn't it?
It really is. And here's the statement. With what you're going through right now, is it going to make you better or bitter? And that's a lot of truth in that statement. I know it's a cliche, but it's so true. That same cloud, and it's the same rod. Stretch over your hand over the sea. The rod that had delivered them now is protecting them from their enemy. The thing that Moses had used it for himself, it's now being used for all the nation of Israel. What a statement that is. And you can read the rest, but I do want to go to verse 31 as we close out before we go to the phone calls. Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Have you believed the Lord? Have you trusted him? I pray you would today. That number, if you have a phone call, 888-589-8840.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
Lately I've been wrestling with everything, 'cause everything seems hard. Been caught up in the worry and anxiety, keeps tearing me apart. But I've been down and out before, and every time I cry out to the Lord, he meets me in my need. I've seen and I believe. God is good all the time.
God is good all the time. This is Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert, so honored that you're listening. And the number, we're going to take Bible questions. The number is 888-589-8840. We've got a couple of calls online, but there are also a couple of lines open. So if you have a Bible question, you very, very likely will get through, and we would be honored to hear from you. And so, Bert, let's see how many we can get in, and where shall we start?
Let's go to Robert in Tennessee. Robert, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you guys for doing what you do online. So my question, I have a quick statement to make. My friend Joe, came to Christ at New Haven when the revival was being held. And I want to thank you for that.
Alex, did you get that?
Praise God. To God be the glory.
Amen.
I know I will see him again. Thank God.
So, amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, that's good.
So my question for you, I live down in Tennessee now. I used to live in New Haven. So, all right. So my question for you is the tabernacle, the tent of the tabernacle in Exodus there, God wouldn't let the people move for 50 days and jump forward to Pentecost in 50 days. Is there a correlation between the two?
Hey, Robert, thank you, brother, and appreciate you listening, appreciate you calling. Let me just share with you, I believe that is not incidental. Now, there are certain amount of days and certain numbers that always, when you see them, take note. Now, I'm not saying you don't notice each and every number, Alex, you know, but certain numbers, they are just, okay, what's going on? I think 50 is one of those numbers.
Well, you know, 50 is very often associated with the work of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And it's interesting, in Numbers 4, they're in the wilderness, and the tabernacle, it was, for lack of a better word, it was almost like a tent. Now, it was a very intricate tent with poles and curtains, and it moved around, and the tabernacle, this was very pictorial of the church, that we are the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. But let me say this, they were instructed to wait 50 days. Men 50 years old and younger were to work on the tabernacle. These curtains that were kind of the partitions, they were to have 50 loops and 50 latches that attach to these poles. And Bert, I don't know that I can read too much into this, but let me say, God has always been about a people that he would have a relationship with. People are brought to the Lord by the wooing of the Holy Spirit. People are used by the Lord and through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And just like the wilderness, 50 days, and 50 days after Christ's resurrection, the birth of the church, I really think it has to do with the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the people of God.
I believe that is, if you're going to look at one specific area that number shows up again and again, that would be it, Alex. And again, God is at work during that period of time. That's the, God's not just, okay, I'm waiting here doing nothing. No, God is waiting in that 50 days, but during that 50 days, look what they must do. And if you want to look at some details, if God's a God of details, look how he told them to make the tabernacle. And I don't know, I'm not as detailed as a lot of people are, but when I started reading this and I saw all the intricate details that God had given them, I said, man, I'm glad God's detailed about our lives as well. Hey, Robert, great call, great question. Thank you, man. Next, let's go to Christina in Virginia. Christina, thank you for calling.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Go right ahead.
Awesome. So I have a question, but it's kind of a two-part question. So the first part is, what is your advice for someone like me? I pick up my Bible and I try to read it. But what is your advice? I have trouble believing and having faith that the Bible is, in fact, the Word of God. And, like, I can read it and pick out good things, but I struggle with, like, that faith part that, you know, just, you know, being able to sit with it and say, this really is the Word of God. So what's your advice, I guess, for me? Because, you know, if I go to, like, a Bible study group, I'll sit there and be like, you know, we're talking about some nice things, but like, are we really, is Scripture really the Word of God? And then, like, I'll even listen to your all's radio show just to see if your faith will rub off on me. Like, but I don't have that faith myself. So I want your advice for that. And then the second part.
Hey, Christina, stay online. We're not going to hang up. Let's answer that one as quick as we can, then get to your second question. It might be easier for us, Alex. Sometimes we get, let me say this, Christina. The Word of God. having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure, and Alex, I'm sure I'll talk to you a minute about that. But let me say this. The power of the Word of God and the surety of the Word of God is the history of the Word of God. If you, that will give you, if you don't believe it, look at the history. Look at everything it said that was going to happen in the Old Testament prophecy and see how it came about in the New Testament, every detail. When you watch programs that are even well written, you'll find those inconsistencies, but there's no inconsistencies in the Bible. Alex, help Christina.
Well, Christina, I feel very honored that you would call. And one thing I want to do, if before you hang up, if Brent Austin gets your contact info, free of charge, I want to send you a copy of the first book that Bert and I did together, which was 100 Bible Questions and Answers. And we talk about how we know the Bible is the Word of God. And for one thing, I want to say I truly, truly appreciate your honesty. And what I'm not going to say is this. I'm not going to say, well, just have faith. What I'm going to say is, though, have an open mind, because think about this. If God exists, Almighty God, is it possible that He could give a message to the human race and preserve that message and then open our mind that we might comprehend that message? Of course, that's possible. When you look at some of the things that are unique about the Bible, for one, and trusting it's the Word of God, I want to say this: the key to getting into heaven is, did you accept Christ as your Savior? The key is not, did you believe the Bible is the infallible, inerrant Word of God? Now, I do, and I think that's vitally important, but it's amazing what the Spirit of God does in our heart and our mind when we've trusted Christ as our Savior. So, Christina, let me ask you this. Have you put your faith in Christ, and do you know that you're saved?
So it's a little rocky. There was a time in my life where I fully believed, and I would say I've kind of been in and out of that faith, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Could we pray, and I want you to make sure, and I've got 24 hours of content on the Bible. Let's not go there right now. But could I just ask you a couple of kind of diagnostic questions? And Christina, part of the reason I want to do this is because I know there are probably folks listening right now, and I can almost hear it. People across America are going, yes, I'm so glad they're having this conversation. So I think if you and I could talk for a second, it probably will minister to a lot of other people too. The way that we know we're a Christian, and this is biblical, we admit that we're a sinner, and then we believe that the Son of God paid our sin debt on the cross, and we're putting our trust in that, and we're not just hoping or crossing our fingers, but we're saying, Lord, I'm accepting that Jesus died for me. And have you done that? Have you made that decision in your heart? And was there a time, Christina, when you said, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. Please save me.
So there was a time that I did, 100%. I think now I've moved into the fingers crossed category. I definitely 100% understand I am a sinner. Sin is undeniable. I think I'm a little bit, you know, fingers crossed, hoping at this point in my life that, I want it all to be very true.
Amen. And, you know, Jesus cannot lie. Jesus would not mislead you. And there are so many places where Jesus, and by the way, I'm in the middle of teaching a college class on this right now, how we accurately know that the words of Christ have been preserved. But here's my point. Jesus said, like in John 6:37, the one who comes to me, I will not reject. Christina, would you, I'm going to lead in a prayer. And right now, would you want to pray and make sure that not hope so, but a no-so salvation? Because there's a lot of people, I think, that'll pray with us. If I lead in a prayer, would you pray and make sure of this today, Christina?
Yeah.
All right. And folks listening, if you want to make sure of your salvation, just something like this. Christina, pray this. Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I admit that I'm a sinner.
I admit that I'm a sinner.
And I want to be forgiven.
And I want to be forgiven.
I believe Jesus is the Son of God, as he said.
I believe Jesus is the Son of God, as he said.
I'm trusting that he paid my sins on the cross.
I'm trusting that he paid for my sins on the cross.
And I put my faith in you.
And I put my faith in you.
So please forgive me.
So please forgive me.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
And wash my sins away.
And wash my sins away.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now I want us to keep praying. Say, please fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Please fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Help me to grow in my walk with you.
Help me to grow in my walk with you.
And help me to follow you as you lead.
And help me to follow you as you lead.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, Christina, praise God. Listen to this. It's not reciting a bunch of words, but God has made promises. And the promises of the Bible are just as solid as the laws of physics, really. And Jesus said, if we put our faith in him, he will hear us and forgive us. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, you were sincere, weren't you? You were absolutely sincere, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, based on God's word, and God cannot lie, you are saved, and your name is written in his book, and he heard you. And by the way, I want to say to everybody listening, anyone who prayed that prayer, no matter where you are, God heard you. And if you want to email us, we'll email you. I've got a booklet, Bert, and I'll email as many people as email in. If you word@afr.net, W-O-R-D, word@afr.net. If anybody else, like Christina, you prayed that prayer today, I will email you a little booklet that will just help you in your walk and witness. But I'm going to throw it back to Bert. Christina, I believe the Bible is going to get a lot more clear to you because I'll tell you what I experienced at age 21, and then I'll throw it to Bert. Christianity goes so much better when you're a Christian. I had struggled, and then I put my faith in Jesus. Now, the Bible is God's word, and Christ in John 10:35, Jesus said the scripture cannot be broken. And I'm going to be praying for you, and I know millions of other Americans are too. My dear friend Christina, you're my sister in Christ by putting your faith in Jesus. Bert, this is exciting.
It is, Christina. Welcome to the family. Let me suggest two things about the Word of God. Two books do you read first. I would read First John over in the latter part, First John, and notice the words, that you may know. This really drives it home, that you may know that you have eternal life. And then there's two other books. I love John. Alex loves the book of Mark. We love both of them. Read those two books after you read 1 John, and it'll bless you. And don't hang up, okay? Brent and Will's going to get that information and get your address so we can send you that information. God, thank you for Christina calling today. Amen. Amen. We got a prayer request by Dave in Iowa. Dave, you've held on. We haven't got a lot of time. Tell us your prayer request, brother.
Okay, thanks for taking my call, guys. I appreciate it. That was an awesome call you just had. That really blessed my heart. But my brother-in-law is up in Mayo Clinic right now, and he needs a liver transplant and a kidney transplant. Mm-hmm. And he's top on the list right now. So we've just been asking God to send a miracle. And his name's Jeff, so I wanted to make it quick.
What's
so
his name? Give the name.
Jeff. His name's Jeff.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
Father, I pray right now for Jeff up in the Mayo Clinic. We're praying along with Dave that you will make this possible, the liver transplant, whatever you need to do in order to bring Jeff some hope and even life, Father. We pray for that and ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, everybody, let's agree together in prayer for Jeff, who needs this liver transplant. Bert, aren't we blessed to have church?
We are. We thank everybody for listening today, and join us tomorrow for more of Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.